Oh, we are ready for Super Wild Card Weekend, and we do that every Thursday with our boy, Edward.
I don't know if it's possible. Holding the note. I love it. I don't know if it's possible for us to be more excited for Super Wild Card Weekend, the man we love chatting with every Thursday morning to tee up the weekend ahead is our good friend from ESPN, Ed Werder. What's up, Ed?
Good morning, guys. Should we throw a duper in there? Should it be Super Duper Wild Card Weekend?
Ooh, yes.
Wow.
I like that. 3 days of football now because we got Monday Night Football, something they haven't done before. So let's call it Super Duper, Ed.
Super Duper Wild Card Weekend.
You could make that happen. You're a big wig at ESPN. You have a lot of pull. I'd make it happen.
Make sure you trademark it,
though. Happen that aren't going to happen, boys.
Ed, why don't we start with the Patriots and the Bills? Of course, that's a game that's very close to our heart. Carlo, a Bills super fan. I saw Luke Wilson on Jay Onwright's edition of SportsCenter pick the Patriots last night, which surprised me quite a bit. And our producer, Arad, a big Patriots fan, very thrilled to see that. But one thing I was looking at last night, Ed, was Josh Allen's performance in freezing weather below zero. His performance plummets. His completion percentage amongst the worst in the NFL. When the weather is cold, and it's going to be very cold in Buffalo on Saturday night, how much does the weather affect your perception of Patriots and Bills?
Well, it's, I guess the thing that would concern me about the weather is Buffalo doesn't have a strong running game and New England does. And so if it's windy and cold and the conditions make it very difficult for the quarterbacks, then I think you default to the running game. And I would say the Patriots have a significant advantage there. We all remember what they did to them the first time they played them. Mac Jones barely threw a pass. It's odd to me that Allen would not perform well in that kind of weather, given he's from Laramie. And you get those kind of conditions when you're with a quarterback at the University of Wyoming. And, you know, the Patriots obviously have a quarterback from the South in Mac Jones playing in Alabama. But to me, the bigger discrepancy has really been how Josh Allen has played at home against the Patriots versus how he's played on the road against the Patriots. He's been, you know, way better when he's played at Foxborough as opposed to the way he's played at Orchard Park for whatever reasons. But I think the running game is the big issue as far as, you know, why the Patriots don't play better when the weather's bad.
Yeah, that's my fear about this game is I'm hoping the weather gods will be nice to Bills Mafia and Bills fans because the worse the weather is, you know, the more worried I am about their chances of beating the Patriots just because of what we already witnessed this year with the game plan that Belichick and the Patriots could muster up for the Bills, mm-hmm. who have an incredible offense, but like you said, it's the running game. So we'll see. Fingers crossed. A lot can change between now and Saturday. And, you know, I still like the Bills to win, but obviously you can never count out a Bill Belichick team in the playoffs.
But you know what? Bill Belichick, so this is a first for him. I mean, he's coached for 27 years. This is the first time he's ever had a road wild card game. And on top of that, a rookie quarterback. So Mac Jones has not been exposed to the kind of pressure he's going to experience, at least not in the NFL. That he'll face on Sunday, Saturday.
Well, Ed, let's backtrack a little bit and let's review the last game of the regular season between the Chargers and the Raiders. I mean, talk about game of the year, the wild excitement, the different, you know, circumstances that played out. Where were you standing on that game going into it, knowing that the Colts had lost to the Jacksonville Jaguars, which was crazy to think that their loss created this type of scenario of a potential tie that would have got both teams in. But even just the way the game played out, last 4 minutes, Chargers down by 15. They find a way to claw back, including converting on four different fourth and longs in the last 2 minutes of that game to tie it. Going into overtime, with the potential tie on the line, Brandon Staley calling a timeout, which basically people say the Raiders were ready to run out the clock. But where were you standing on the result of that game? Did you want to see a winner, or were you cheering for a tie?
Well, to be honest, I think I'd rather have seen a tie. and as implausible an outcome as that seemed when the game started, at some point in the fourth quarter when it became a 7-point game, I said to my wife, oh my God, they're going to tie. And that would have meant that obviously Pittsburgh would have been eliminated. No more Ben Roethlisberger getting to finish his career in the playoffs. I mean, I like watching Herbert play. And so I hate for all of us who care about football and postseason football that we don't get to see Justin Herbert in the playoffs. I mean, for him to, in 2 years, surpass Dan Marino's record for most touchdown passes thrown in the first 2 years of a career and miss the playoffs both years in the way that they did is really disappointing, not to have him be a part of the postseason.
And let's talk about the Bengals and the Raiders, two quarterbacks in Burrow and Derek Carr making their first career playoff starts. And
yeah.
I'm seeing, like, I see very few people, and listen, I'm dialed into the betting game, admittedly, more so than most, but a lot of people backing the Raiders to the point where I'm seeing some, like, sneaky money line plays being laid on Las Vegas and maybe not as much support for the Cincinnati Bengals as you may have expected, considering the way they closed their season. How do you handicap this game between Cincinnati and Las Vegas?
Yeah, it's interesting. Like you said, both quarterback Joe Burrow and Derek Carr making their first playoff starts. Derek Carr has waited a lot longer to make his first career playoff start than any of these other quarterbacks. He started 127 games in the regular season. That's the third most in NFL history before making your playoff debut. Only Fran Tarkington and John Brody waited longer. I think as far as the game goes, the reason you might want to favor the Raiders is if you watch their pass rush the other night, Max Crosby and that group just continually creating pressure every down on the quarterback. And I think that's the Achilles heel of Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati passing game. As dynamic as they've been, as many, made more big plays in the passing game than any team in football with Jamar Chase, but he's also been sacked over 50 times, the most in the NFL this year. And so I think that's where the game could swing and Burrow's performance could be affected. Now you can also argue, well, he's been under pressure and he's been sacked all year and he's still performed. And that's true too. But I just think the Raiders, on a down-by-down basis, create more pressure and get sacks more often than really any other defense in the NFL. If they can protect Burrow, I think Cincinnati will win the game. I just question, after what I've seen from the Raiders the second half of the season, whether anybody can stop their pass rush.
Yeah, that'll be an exciting game to watch for sure between those two teams and the offense that they can potentially provide. And Ed, you mentioned that you wanted to see the tie, and the beneficiary of that game not ending up in a tie was the Pittsburgh Steelers. And it's hard to imagine that we're sitting here about to enter into super duper wild card weekend, and that we're about to watch Big Ben Roethlisberger play in the playoffs because he's had an abysmal season. Do you give them any chance of beating the Kansas City Chiefs? I know Ben sort of played a little reverse psychology with some of his answers yesterday, yeah. Basically, praising everything that the Kansas City Chiefs does or do in their game. But is that part of their strategy, thinking that they might give themselves a chance to win that game?
Yeah, that's what he said yesterday, was pretty much, well, nobody thinks we have a chance, so let's just go out and just play loose like we have nothing to lose. I don't see Pittsburgh having much of a chance against the Chiefs at Arrowhead. I just think that the Chiefs' offense is too overwhelming. But the Steelers did lead the NFL in sacks for the fifth straight year. They had over 50, and, T.J. Watt led the NFL, tying Michael Strahan's record at 22.5, so the one thing that they can do well is affect the quarterback. I just don't see Pittsburgh creating enough offense to stay in a game with Patrick Mahomes. So I think this will be Ben's last game. He made the playoffs as a rookie. In fact, went to the Super Bowl, and now he's probably going to be eliminated in his final game at Arrowhead. I just don't see the Steelers being able to create enough offense. They've had this tendency of one of the worst scoring teams in the NFL quarters 1 through 3, and then in the fourth quarter and overtime, they're the second highest scoring team in the NFL. So they've staged a lot of dramatic comebacks. I just think Kansas City is overwhelmingly a better team than the Steelers are.
Our guest is Ed Werder, who covers the NFL for ESPN. And my guess, Ed, is that you'll be covering the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday afternoon as they host the San Francisco 49ers. Another game where there's some upset potential for sure. Mm-hmm. Dallas is favored by 3 points, but San Fran presents a tough challenge, at least from my vantage point, in that Dallas kind of struggles to stop the run. And San Fran runs the ball as effectively as almost any team in the NFL. When you're viewing this game and from a Dallas perspective, how big of a concern are the San Francisco 49ers?
Yeah, I think Kyle Shanahan has a very physical approach to the game. I would expect them to not only try to run the football against the Cowboys to protect their defense. I think San Francisco's secondary is vulnerable to Dallas's passing attack. And so, Kyle Shanahan will try and win in a very physical style of play. I know we talked to Micah Parsons, the Cowboys rookie, yesterday, and he said, "Hey, I'm from Harrisburg, and every place you go in Harrisburg, there's a bully. And, you got to stand up to the bully, and we're not going to turn our equipment in and say we can't beat the 49ers and go home." But I do think they're going to handle the 49er running game. Shanahan, Deebo Samuel is kind of the equivalent of Micah Parsons on offense. He's a do-it-all guy. He's really a wide receiver, but he's thick-waisted, thick-thighed, a really tough guy to tackle, and they put him in the backfield, and they don't just run him to the edges. Like, he runs traditional running back plays out of the I formation. In fact, I talked to their left tackle, Trent Williams, yesterday, and he said, this guy, even though he's a wide receiver, and he says it's weird to call him a wide receiver, he scored 8 touchdowns running the football this year. He said, if you lined him up in the eye in the NFL and made him a running back, he'd have a 1,500-yard rushing season. So I think it's Kyle Shanahan's a very creative guy offensively. He's going to challenge the Cowboys in a lot of different ways. And the Cowboys have kind of been sketchy on offense the whole second half of the year. But they do get turnovers, and if they get turnovers, I think they'll win the game. They're 1-3 when they don't create a turnover. You're right. They can the 49ers can definitely come to Dallas as they renew this historic rivalry created in the 90s and win this game.
Yeah, Dallas, the only time they're not sketchy on offense is when they play a CFL defense like the Philadelphia Eagles had on Saturday night.
Yeah. Well, they're 6-0 against the NFC East, the teams that they know well. They play them every year, and they're only 6-5 against teams outside their division. And they're coming off a 51-point game in Philadelphia, but they were coming up, their two highest scoring games before that were a 43-point game against Atlanta and a 56-point game against Washington, and they went outside the division the next week and lost both games. So yeah. I know Mike McCarthy thinks he created a lot of momentum for his team and self-confidence going into this game. I'm curious to see if it's a real thing or not, because so far it hasn't been.
I will not stand for this CFL slander. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers would fare very well against any NFL
team. Oh,
yeah,
I'm sure. I'm sure. Against Dak Prescott, just heaving the ball for 5 touchdowns all over
the field. No issues at all. Let's talk about the Eagles and the Bucks, Ed. And that game goes Sunday at 1. Wow, what a slate on Sunday. You have Eagles, Bucks, Niners, Cowboys, Steelers, Chiefs. That is a day of couching. I will not be moving for 12 straight hours, and I cannot wait. So it all starts with the Eagles and the Bucks, and we know the issues with Tampa on offense. Godwin is out. Antonio Brown is out. We'll see about Fournette and Ronald Jones. But we were talking about this throughout the week, how in past years, whether it's been with the Patriots, certainly with the Patriots, Tom Brady has been able to execute incredible offensive performances in spite of adverse situations with some of his wide receivers and a lack of offensive firepower. Do you think at age 44 he'll be able to compensate for the lack of some of his weapons and just get it done? Maybe not only against the Eagles, which we all expect the Bucks to win, but going deep in the NFC.
Well, I think that one of the reasons that Tom Brady has succeeded over time in the postseason to the extent that he has, and he's won 7 Super Bowls, is he hasn't always had favorable circumstances in terms of great personnel around him, and he's managed to win because he's always had a good defense. Bill Belichick, always provided a great defense where Brady wouldn't have to go out and score. He doesn't have to go score 30 points a game like some of these other quarterbacks do. And I think Tampa Bay's, gives him that same opportunity. Todd Bowles has a really good defense. They've got 3 or 4 guys coming back. Devin White and Levante David are coming back, so they should be at pretty full strength on the defensive side of the ball to support Brady and give him some short fields and hold down the score, especially against the one-dimensional team, you know, like the Eagles. The Eagles led the NFL in rushing, kind of came to this epiphany right after they played the Bucs early in the season. They've been trying to throw the ball and run a, you know, more conventional type of offense, and now it's all about the quarterback running the football and Jalen Hurts taking control of the offense. So a lot of teams, I mean, I know Dallas week one went into Tampa Bay and didn't even try to run the ball because they just felt like there was no chance of succeeding running the ball against Todd Bowles' defense. And now Philadelphia's going to go into this game, and that's all they can do. I see the Bucs winning this game pretty decisively.
Well, AK, you got to like hearing that, but considering your wager on the Tampa Bay Bucs right now at -8.
-8, let's go.
Well, Ed, last game.
I do not endorse this kind of gambling, by the way. I wasn't even aware that you guys were using me for that purpose.
Yes, exactly. It's like, hey, we got to get some player prop in.
What do you mean? We asked you for your survivor pool picks all year.
That is a good point.
That's just in fun.
Yeah.
I didn't know you guys were degenerate gamblers like this.
One of us is.
Oh, one of you is. Okay. Yes. Degenerate. Gotcha.
Exactly. Yes. Generous sports watcher. Let's go to the Monday night matchup between the Rams and the Cardinals. Both teams are, you know, teams that shot themselves in the foot with their own matchups on Sunday, with the Rams losing to the Niners that allowed the Niners to get in. But the Cardinals' loss allowed the Rams to clinch their division. But both teams sort of sneaking their way in to the playoffs. You know, a lot of teams, a lot of people want to say the Rams are, you know, a team that can make a push here because of their all-in approach, but they haven't really played well consistently all year. Yeah. Then you got the Cardinals. They've had a good road record all year, but their play down the stretch hasn't been too convincing. Where do you stand on these two teams and what could potentially happen in this matchup?
Well, they split during the regular season, and I think the reason that a lot of people don't trust the Rams, based not only on their, you know, erratic performance during the year, but, you know, Matthew Stafford is 0-3 as a starting quarterback in the postseason. So he's trying to win his first playoff game in his 13th NFL season. And, you know, he's been making a lot of mistakes lately. He's had multiple turnover games, three or four games in a row here, a lot of pick sixes. So I think it's kind of hard to believe in them given the way that they've played. But I think they've been more consistent than Arizona. Arizona is on the road, and maybe that's where they need to be. They had the best road record in the NFL this year. They had six games where they didn't have a single turnover, a tied an NFL record. Maybe they get J.J. Watt back for this game.
Ooh.
And their defensive performance really kind of collapsed when he went out with that shoulder injury that required surgery. This is a pretty quick turnaround for him to get back, but he's rejoined practice, and he said if he feels like he can help his team, he'll play in the game on Monday night, and that could be really significant for the Cardinals on defense. You know, they're a really fast, physical defense, and they could create a lot of problems for the Rams in this game.
And what about maybe the potential of Cam Akers making his season debut for the Rams at running back? I mean, that could maybe help take the pressure off of Stafford, not throwing the ball as much. I mean, you could use Michelle, Henderson, and Cam Akers in the backfield.
Right, and I think you can run the ball at Arizona and be successful doing that. Obviously, you know, Sean McVay has had more success in the postseason than Cliff Kingsbury. The Cardinals haven't won a playoff game since, well, this is the first time they're in since 2015. So this is his first time. It's the quarterback's first time. They're on the road, where, as I've said, they've actually played better for whatever reason. But yeah, I mean, I think Cliff Kingsbury's going to put it all on Kyler Murray to, you know, to win this game. And he's capable of that. He's a unique quarterback. I think they've got to use him as a runner. We've seen a little bit more of that as the game should become more important, that he's been willing to pull the ball down and run, where for the most part during the year he wanted to stay in the pocket and throw it. But they're just not the same team since they lost DeAndre Hopkins. They're just not as explosive as they were earlier in the year. Their scoring potential. They're 8-2 without him, or they were 8-2 when they were scoring 30 points a game with DeAndre Hopkins. And since he got hurt, they're only 3-3, and they're scoring 22 points a game. So he's a touchdown a game player for them. and that's a huge loss.
Ed, there are currently six available NFL head coaching jobs, maybe seven if the Raiders move on from Rich Bisaccia, maybe David Culley in Houston, so potentially as many as eight. If you had to rank them, let's just give you maybe the top one or two, the most desirable vacancies as far as NFL coaching situations that are out there right now. What do you think is number one? And let's give you number two as well.
I would say number one is Jacksonville because they have a very patient ownership group, even though they just fired Urban Meyer halfway through his first year.
Oh, that was his own fault,
I would say
though.
It was a unique set of circumstances that put that in motion. And they have a franchise, potential franchise quarterback in Trevor Lawrence and the first pick in the draft. So given all of those assets, I think Jacksonville would be number one. And then I would say Denver is probably number two. They don't have a quarterback, but they've got a guy in George Payton who's a general manager, first-year general manager. They got a rabid fan base. The one thing I don't know about there, they obviously don't have a quarterback. But the other thing is sort of the ownership situation is uncertain. You know, there was just a legal decision this week that clears the way for the Broncos to be sold this offseason. But apparently they're going to hire the coach first before they make any public announcement about that circumstance. So I don't know how much of a turnoff that is, not knowing who's going to own the team when you've just been hired as a coach. That could be somewhat off-putting.
Yeah. Well, Ed, like we've asked all of our NFL guests, but we've saved the best for last with you. Give us a prediction. Who are you calling right now as your potential Super Bowl matchup?
The Super Bowl matchup that I foresee is Green Bay and Kansas City, a replay of Super Bowl II.
Wow.
That would be a hell of a matchup. I mean, I don't think you could ask anything more than Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes going head-to-head, right? I mean, hey, Brady, Mahomes, a rematch of last year, but, yeah, it couldn't get any better than that if you ask me.
I just think it's going to be, you know, Aaron Rodgers is playing unbelievably well, and it's going to be hard for anybody to go into Green Bay and win with the weather. Now, Brady did it last year, and he did it in a game where he threw three picks. So I'm not going to say Green Bay's unbeatable, but if they get Ladarius Smith back rushing the passer and he returned to practice yesterday, and Zaire Alexander, their best corner, I mean, what they've been able to do without some of their best players is just kind of remarkable. They won, 39 games in 3 years? And there are very few teams that have done that, and all of them during that three-year period have won a Super Bowl, with the exception so far of the Packers.
Well, Ed, it's been hang on. Just like CNN has a fact checker, we've got a fact checker on our show, and apparently,
and I Super Bowl I, right?
Yes, Super Bowl I. Can't be right at everything, Ed. It's okay.
I wasn't gonna call you out, and it's not like any of our listeners would have any idea if it was Super Bowl I, or Super Bowl II. I don't, you know, you're just making Ed look bad, Coco.
I'm not.
Wrong when I said it, and I just didn't want to call any more attention to it.
Good.
But now that you
it's
offer me the chance to correct it, I'll correct it.
And it's been a super duper segment with you ahead of super duper wildcard weekend. And we will catch up with you next Thursday. We'll look ahead to round two of the NFL playoffs. Whatever that is.
How many of these games I got wrong.
Yeah, exactly. What are we keeping in
tally? I should tell you one final thing in closing, especially because of the gambling element here. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of interesting how successful road teams have been recently in the last 3 years in the playoffs. So don't discount the road teams in these games.
All right.
They're like 10-4 the last three wild card weekends, road teams.
Wow.
There we go.
Is that straight up or is that against the spread?
That's straight up. That's winning the game.
Okay.
And 3 years in a row, road teams in this round have had a winning record, 4-2 in 2020, 3-1 in 2019, 3-1 in 2018.
Well, who will be the road teams that succeed this weekend?
Better not be New England.
Better not be New England. Agreed. All right. Thank you, Ed.
All right. See you guys.
See
you.
All right,
that's Ed Werder, our NFL analyst. Yeah, I'm looking at, like, I don't know what. I mean, could New England beat Buffalo? I suppose it's possible. I mean,
look,
I think
if the weather plays a factor, there's a chance.
That's it, right?
I mean, I'm not going to be ignorant about it. I'm a realist. As much as I want the Bills to win, I know if you look at England's history and just the way that they're built to play in you know, weather conditions. They keep games close. And the Bills and all the games that they've won this year have all been by double digits. So when the weather plays a factor, it keeps the game closer. And that, I think, favors New England.
Our Raptors reporter, Josh Lewenberg, will join us in about 15 minutes' time. We'll look ahead to the Raps and the Pacers in Detroit, the Motor City, Dwayne Casey. I think he might be in COVID protocol, but in any case, hard to keep track of.
Raps and the Pacers in Detroit?
Raps and the Pistons. Did I say Pacers?
You said Pacers.
Yeah, that's how they're going to do it. You're just calling out every mistake that everybody makes.
No,
I'm
careful,
bro. Better be careful because those mistakes come from you.
I'm like, Pacers.
It's pretty clear what was going on.
Are they playing in Detroit?
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so. But we will see Cade Cunningham hopefully take on Scotty Barnes if indeed Scotty is ready to return from his knee injury. So JLU's coming up. Bob Weeks ahead of the Sony Open. And we'll get his thoughts on the Netflix spectacular coming early next year for the PGA Tour. The fourth hour of First Up on the way next.